Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to worship this midweek Lenten worship on this Wednesday. We also welcome not only you here in the building today, but also those who are listening or watching online. You can go to our website, which is chapelofthecross.org, and under the resources tab there, you can find the bulletin for today. You can also find there options for giving your tithes and your offering under the give tab. You might remember that our theme for these Lenten midweek services focuses on places of the Passion. Each week, we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, contemplating what happened at each place where our Savior stood along the path to the Passion. And today, we will walk with Jesus to the small village of Bethany. God's blessings to you as we worship this day. We begin by listening to our opening hymn, Jesus Grant That Balm and Healing. For those using their hymnal at home, that is hymn number 421 in Lutheran Service Book. We stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us ever walk with Jesus to see the depths of his love, to behold the gift of his forgiveness, to gaze upon the heights of his grace, to marvel at the magnitude of his mercy, we walk with Jesus to Bethany and into the house of Simon the leper. Mary prepares Christ for his burial by anointing him with perfume. Faithful Lord, with me abide. I shall follow where you guide. Our gospel reading states that Mary came up to Jesus with an alabaster flask, a very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. We pray. Forgive us, kind Father, for too often our giving is nothing like this. Our sinful nature prefers another word, get. Get even, get back, and get revenge. Get more, get ahead, and get on top. We are consumed with consuming, driven by selfish desires, passionate about more possessions. We are too much like the disciples and too little like Mary. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Hear the good news. Jesus walked to places of rejection, suffering, torment, and death for you. Jesus was determined to go to Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha for you. That is why Jesus forgives you completely and loves you eternally. Faithful Lord, with me abide. I shall follow where you guide. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, for through her generosity we catch a glimpse of your joyful and generous kingdom. By your Spirit's power, enable us to live and give like her, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading is from Exodus, the 36th chapter. So Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord had commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp, "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. St. Paul writes, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us, in keeping with God's will." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord,
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. While Jesus was in Bethany, at the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we speak our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
In my first year of the seminary, in my very first class I took, we were introduced to a short film called Babette's Feast. In Babette's Feast, the main subject of the movie, who of course is named Babette, was once one of the most famous French chefs in all of France. But due to the counter-revolutionary measures in France, the authorities exiled poor Babette. Homeless, Babette moves to a Danish fishing village whose small religious community was made up and full of hard-hearted people. The community lives for one word and one word only: get. Get ahead. Get back. Get more money. Get even. And whatever else you do, get revenge. Babette is taken in by two sisters, and she serves as their cook and maid for room and board. The two sisters want her to only serve them bland food because that is all they've ever known. And that's what happens when get is your key word in life. Life becomes dull. Life becomes unexciting. Life becomes bland. One day, another word broadsides this community. Babette wins $10,000 in the French lottery. And so she cooks a full course French dinner for the religious community. She treats them to meals of rare delicacies, excellent wine, and some of the best gourmet food in the entire world. And the community is restored by this communal meal. Arguments are dropped, past sins are forgiven, and when the evening is finished, they join hands under the stars and sing the doxology. Babette has replaced the word get with the word give. Babette gives freely, Babette gives extravagantly, and Babette gives joyfully. Now, sometimes later, the community discovers what Babette had actually done versus what they thought she had done. You see, Babette spent the entire $10,000 on this banquet, not a portion of it like the village had assumed. And by doing this, Babette has sealed her fate and her future. She can never return to Paris, and she will never get to take up a post as a chef in a fine restaurant again. And the reason for this is Babette gave it all. Now we're in our second stop in our Lenten journey, Today we're going to walk with Jesus in Bethany. It is in Bethany that we get to meet Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Now, who is this Mary? Well, Mary is the Babette of the Bible. Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Bethany is just a mile east of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. The Jewish Passover is taking place. Well, why is Jesus in Bethany, you might ask? Well, we're not told in Scripture exactly why. But one reason could be Jerusalem may not have had any rooms in the inn. You see, in Jesus' time, Jerusalem's population was around 30,000. But during the Passover, the population jumped up sixfold. So instead of 30,000 people in Jerusalem, we now have 180,000 people in Jerusalem. So this may be the reason that Jesus stayed in Bethany on the outskirts of Jerusalem. The inns were probably just as full as they were the day he was born in Bethlehem, just nowhere to stay. So who is in Bethlehem? Who is in Bethany? Simon the leper. His home is where these events take place. Now, Simon the leper is actually cured of his leprosy, because a person with active leprosy probably would not have a whole lot of people visiting his house in general, and definitely would not be stopping by for dinner. Think COVID. So Jesus is there, Simon is there, his disciples are there, and Mary is there. And the reason this is unusual and strange is because in Jewish society, women did not normally gather with men in public events. So there's a shock right from the start. What's she doing here? But she's there, the Babette of the Bible. And she's ready to teach us and the disciples about the greatest word in the world, give. Scripture tells us that while he was in Bethany, standing or reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume made of pure nard. John, in his gospel, tells us her name is Mary. Mary broke the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Just how expensive was the perfume? Well, John tells us in his gospel that it was a year's salary. So to put this into perspective, in 2020, in the United States, the average income was $87,864. So I want you to imagine, especially you husbands, I want you to imagine your wife going out and spending almost $88,000 on a bottle of perfume, and then she just gives it away. Doesn't collect a dime. It's all gone. As everyone in the room watches, Mary does two remarkable things. First, she pours out this expensive, remember, $88,000 bottle of perfume. This is the most expensive thing she has, and she gives it all. She doesn't worship it as if the perfume is the key to her salvation. She opens it and empties it to the last drop. Second, Mary not only pours it all over the head of Jesus. And what she has done, she's anointed Jesus. Now we know in the Old Testament, only priests, prophets, and kings were anointed. Do you understand the significance of this act of giving? Mary knows who Jesus is. She knows the roles of the Old Testament prophets, priests, and king. She knows that in the Old Testament, prophets spoke the word of God. And some foretold events, performed healings, and also did miracles. Jesus did all of those things. In the Old Testament, the priests were the temporary mediators between God and man. They offered the sacrifices required under the law. Within the priesthood, there is a single high priest, and it is this priest alone who makes the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement that gives the people of Israel one full year of forgiveness. Well, Jesus did far more than that. He offered himself as a sacrifice that is good for all times. In the Old Testament, we know God did not want Israel to have kings. The lineage of kings in the Old Testament is just living proof that God gave his people what they asked for, what they wanted. They wanted to be like the other nations. And he granted them that. And he also allowed them to accept the consequences of their decision. But Jesus is far more than an earthly king. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Mary knows this fact, that Jesus is her prophet, her priest, and her king. We now know why Jesus is in Bethany during Passover week. And we know what Mary gives, that Mary gives everything she has to Jesus. But there's a conflict that was created by Mary's use of the word give. There's a stark contrast between Mary and the disciples. Mary is extravagant. Mary is excessive. Mary goes way over the top. And the disciples? Well, Matthew tells us how this is how they reacted. When the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." The disciples are threatened. Their whole world has come crashing down around their head. The disciples are angry, mad, and upset. All because Mary lives by the word give. The comparisons between Mary and the disciples couldn't be blacker and whiter. Mary is generous. The disciples are greedy. Mary gives with abandon. The disciples are miserly to a fault. Mary sacrifices everything financially. The disciples won't give a nickel. Mary shows her faith with actions that show what true act of righteousness is. The disciples talk a good game, giving money to the poor, but we know they don't mean it. Mary loves the word give, but all the disciples can think about is the word get. Get more, get ahead. Get to be the number one disciple. Get out on top. They're basically practicing the glory of theology, the theology of glory. And the theology of glory isn't about God at the cross. The theology of glory is about me and what I want and what I want to get. Matthew gives a response from our Savior to his disciples. But Jesus is aware of this and said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial." Beautiful? Cross? Indeed. Mary knew about these verses in Matthew's gospel long before he wrote them. Mary knows that a woman will bear a son and will be called, and they will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Mary knows that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as ransom for many. And Mary believes in these words before they've even been spoken. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. Mary heard those words. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. And you can almost hear the disciples saying, "Wait a minute, burial?" Because you see, burial implies a death. And what a death it will be. Jesus will be betrayed by Judas. He'll be denied by Peter. He'll be sentenced by Pilate. He'll be scourged by soldiers to within one stroke of death. He'll be mocked by the crowds. He'll be abandoned by his father. Christ's death pays the price for all sins, for all people, for all time. All sin, all people, all time. Mary gives Jesus everything she has. Mary prepares Jesus to give everything that he has. And the room is filled with the smell of costly perfume. Mary understands that Jesus is not about glory. Jesus is about the cross and what it will give the world. Smells are powerful, aren't they? The smell of a rose catches your nose, and suddenly, if you're a guy, you remember that dozen roses that you gave to your first date. And if you're a woman, you remember the dozen roses. Or maybe it's the aroma of the perfume your grandmother wears. And you smell it and you get back the memories of the good times you had with your grandmother. Words go to the thinking part of the brain. But smells go to the emotional part of our brains and our hearts. That's why that whiff of grandmother's perfume brings back memories of her. Smells can stir powerful and immense emotions in us. And this is true about Jesus. Mary's strong perfume will linger with Jesus throughout Holy Week. As he makes his way to the cross, it marks him with one word, give. In Matthew's gospel, we find that Jesus ends his lesson to his disciples with these words: wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Can you believe that? Because the kingdom of God is not about hoarding and stockpiling. The kingdom of God is not about cheap and chintzy. The kingdom of God isn't about get. Get will kill us. Always and forevermore, God's kingdom is about one word, give. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, Mary, the Babette of the Bible, Mary shows us that the kingdom of God is about giving lavishly, giving generously, and giving joyfully. And we give completely. Wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus doesn't say this about anyone else in the Bible. We can boil life down to one simple word. One word with one syllable, one powerful and life-changing word. Mary showed it in her act of devotion, and Jesus will show it in Holy Week by giving everything, up to and including his life. He encourages and empowers us to give as well. Try it out. It will change everything. It will create so much joy. That word, you know the word, is the most powerful word on the planet. G-I-V-E. Give. Amen.
We stand for prayer. Page 8 in your bulletin. Onward in Christ's footsteps treading, pilgrims hear our home above, full of faith and hope and love. Let us do the Father's bidding. And so we pray. Gracious God, give us generous hearts to give without counting the cost, to share without expecting anything in return, to hold all of our treasures with open hands, to have gospel priorities and align our life, our love, and our time in their light, to know the freedom that comes with generosity, to give like the Israelites who continue to bring free will offerings morning after morning, to give like the Macedonians who urgently pleaded for the privilege of sharing, to give like Mary, joyfully, exceedingly, and lavishly. To give like Jesus, lovingly, faithfully, and abundantly. Father, we recall the words of our Savior. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, What she has done will also be told in memory of her. And so we pray. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at your feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Jesus, let me faithful be, life eternal grant to me. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus invites us to walk with him to Bethany, a place of great suffering and a place of great love. We walk with Jesus all the way to the empty tomb and resurrection victory. Let us ever walk with Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together, We Give Thee But Thy Own, page 10 in your bulletin.